Let's look first at how the overall general primary election cycle went in your view.
Well, for a lot of people, this was a fairly low turnout, and I would agree with them. We were expecting, given the excitement in the Senate race, as well as in the 2nd, 4th, 6th, and 9th with their hotly contested primaries, that we would see pretty good turnout, not to mention the fact that at the local level, including in some cases township board races, there were a lot of people lined up to run for office and running good campaigns. We sort of expected a pretty good turnout, but, you know, statewide, it was okay. It was not great by any stretch of the imagination, not nearly what we would expect.
I know up here in Northwest Indiana in particular, some of the officials in Lake and Porter counties were disappointed by the turnout. Some had hoped maybe they weren't expecting, you know, 40-50%, but they were expecting a little more than about 10 or 15%, which is the way some of the counties turned out. They just didn't have the turnout they hoped for, and they thought, especially in some of the races in particular here in Lake County with the Democratic Party races, for so many candidates on the ballot for a county sheriff, for example, or you're talking about township races, in particular Calumet Township Board of Directors have only four spaces, but they had seemed like a bunch of candidates that wanted to take one of those four seats. So
yeah, it wasn't a seems like. That was a bunch of candidates who wanted those seats.
Yeah.
Those were highly coveted seats. And now we always think that contested elections bring out voters, and that's true, but there are a couple of other factors to consider. First, in the end, campaigns have no interest in a high turnout. They have an interest in turnout of their voters. So they're not going to try and turn out voters in general, but only their voters. And if they can target people who support them, and that's going to be enough of a turnout to get them a victory, they're not going to go looking for more people. So that's one factor. The other factor is that when races get ugly, it does have a tendency to sort of drive turnout back down. And for a lot of folks, the Senate race on the Republican side, a lot of people refer to it as one of the ugliest, if not the ugliest, in the United States so far this year.
Yeah.
So that probably contributed to the lower turnout as well.
And we'll get into more detail about that. But we know in particular, too, that the U.S. Senate Republican candidate race was also certainly one of the not only the most contested as far as how the campaign went, but it was also one of the most competitive battleground races, too, it seemed like, in the country. But we'll get into that in just a moment. Let's take a look here at the races for the House of Representatives. And we know here in Northwest Indiana, in particular in District 1, it seemed to be a pretty safe bet that Pete Fiskoski, the incumbent congressman, was going to get his chance to go up against some Republican candidate this year. And he only had two challengers, but had no trouble trying to fight them off.
Oh, that's certainly true, and that's what people have come to expect in the 1st District. Fiskoski does a nice job with casework and certainly has been there for a long time. Some people may not like him. In fact, we know some people don't like him. But in the end, he's one of those incumbents who seems to take care of the people back home, votes in ways that make the people in that district happy. And so those are two things. If you do them, you're and then run serious campaigns. I should throw that one in there. And if you do that, you're more than likely going to be reelected.
Now, we know that the folks that didn't want to see Pete Fiskoski get as many points as he wanted for the chance to vie for a chance to win in November, of course, were the ones who were opposed to the South Shore Line expansion projects, in particular the South Lake project, the one that runs through Lake County. Not so much the expansion of the double tracks between Gary and Michigan City, but they just weren't happy about that and some other things, too, that involve some of the Northwest Indiana governmental organizations.
Well, it's true. When you start thinking about where money gets spent, quite often people are able to say, you know what, that's jobs. They may not like that particular project, but it means some people are going to be employed. It means people are going to get paid pretty good wages, typically, if we're talking about construction projects funded by the feds. I will be okay with that for that reason. I may prefer those dollars be spent elsewhere in a place that I think is more efficient, more effective, it brings greater equity. But in the end, as long as they're being spent here, it's better than them being spent elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And we know now that they've got the election over with, that Pete Fiskoski is once again going to face Mark Leyva, who is going to be the Republican challenger on the ballot in November. Leyva has run several times for several different offices in Northwest Indiana, but he's run against Congressman Fiskoski several times in the past, and he's going to have another chance once again. But there are a couple other potential candidates, or potential winners, maybe we should say, that are on the ballot. John Meyer and Roseanne Ivanovich, who are two attorneys living and working in Northwest Indiana within District 1, and they seem to have promise, and they seem to do pretty well as far as the vote's concerned, but just not as well enough as Mark Leyva did.
Yeah, and it was almost an exact tie between those two, and we'll see what happens 2 years from now. Obviously, Leyva has name recognition on his side. Campaigning in Northwest Indiana is an expensive proposition because when you talk about campaigning over the airwaves, you're often talking about needing to buy Chicago television, which is really expensive, but radio and other means give you better targeting. I think that if you were to ask these two to run again, or if they were to run again, I think we might see a slightly different result because they've obviously done a little bit to build up their name recognition. And I might argue that if they both weren't in, one of them would have won, whether it was, you know, either one, doesn't matter. If it had been simply one of them against Leyva, I think they might have had a chance of winning. But in the end, they probably split up the anti-Leyva vote in some respect.
Good point, too. And Nick Pappas was the other candidate that brought in about 19% of the total vote out of that, too. So it's hard to say what could have happened in that case, too. Now, looking on to District 2, which is the other district that we're looking at, of course, over here in Northwest Indiana, it's off just to our immediate east here. But we do have areas in our coverage area that want to know what happens there. That's that's going to be the case where Jackie Walorski, the incumbent, is going to go up against a good Democratic challenger, somebody who picked up about 47% of the overall vote. Tell us, once you know a little bit about Mel Hall and how you think his chances might be to go up against Jackie Walorski in November.
Well, this would be an interesting case because Mel Hall is somebody who has deep roots in the community as somebody who's invested in and given back to the community. That's not to say that the other candidates on the ballot, on both ballots, haven't done that. But this is what he's known for. He is known for his contributions in the community. In fact, I was talking with someone just yesterday who used to live up in South Bend who now lives over my way. He said, I saw this commercial and I was shocked to see it was Mel Hall. I didn't pay attention to the beginning, but I thought, is that the Mel Hall I know from church days, you know, 15 years ago? I said, yeah, that's him. So it will be, you know, this is clearly somebody who is given, who is a servant. And that's going to be a pretty good biography to use against Walorski. But at the same time, there's got to be more than the biography. You know, this is a district that is still kind of a Republican district, and so that's in Walorski's favor, obviously. She's a proven vote-getter in terms of both the General Assembly and now Congress. Hall has a long way to go. He did a good job raising money in the spring, but now he's got to turn right around and raise, you know, quite a few times what he raised in the spring in order to be a viable candidate come the fall.
Are there any other congressional races that you've kept a look at from the primary election on Tuesday night that might be worth mentioning? I know Jim Baird is probably one that I'm sure a lot of people were watching because that's in Todd Rokita's district, the seat that he had, and I'm sure that a lot of people were surprised that he would make the move from state representative to run for Congress.
Yeah, that district's a little south of where you are, obviously. And initially, you know, a lot of people didn't jump into that race. It was expected when Rokita announced he was running for Senate, there would just be, you know, a ton of people who'd say, I want that seat, because it's a pretty darn safe Republican seat. So it took a while for some people to get in, and then we ended up with a pretty tight three-way race, or what looked like was going to be a pretty tight three-way race. And Jim Baird was not, if I remember right, not the top fundraiser in the area. A lot of people expected Steve Braun, that last name might sound familiar, but they expected Steve Braun to win that. Baird, though, talked about his service in the General Assembly, talked about his service in the military, and was able to basically present a very compelling biography in addition to good stance on the issues that sort of drives home a point. The biography is important, and being an outsider of sorts is a good thing. But it's okay to have served the public in some way, shape, or form, and use that as a way to catapult yourself into a victory. So being an outsider doesn't mean having never served the public before. It just means you have to describe it in the right way and have done it in the right way. That'll be interesting because Toby Beck, the Democratic nominee, also is a vet. She spent a lot of time talking about that, so that will be interesting. And then two other House races very quickly people were watching. Mm-hmm. The Republican primary over in the 6th district, so the west or east central part of the state, Greg Pence was running for that seat. People expected him to win. He did with about two-thirds of the vote. He beat off a surprising challenge from a gentleman named Jonathan Lamb, who was able to self-finance, a young person was able to self-finance. That was interesting. And then the other one down in the 9th district, so South Central and Southeastern Indiana. That was on the Democratic side. Liz Watson and Dan Cannon were going at it, and Watson ended up running away with that. I'll say running away. That's a bit of a disservice, but people expected that to be a lot tighter. She ended up with two-thirds of the vote. So she will now take on first-termer Trey Hollingsworth in the fall.
The carpetbagger.
You got it. And I was going to say, that's the race that people remember from 2 years ago, because that was Shelley Yoder against Trey Hollingsworth back when he was initially given that carpetbagger label.
We're talking with Andy Downs with the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics over in Fort Wayne about how this primary election turned out. It's just ended. Now let's talk about the big race, the one that was the most contentious probably of any that anybody's ever seen, at least in recent memory, to be sure. Talking about the Republican Party's U.S. Senate race, fighting three people, fighting each other, and finally turning out to be with the winner. We notice well, too, that's here again, another outsider. Tell us your thoughts about how that's turned out with Mr. Braun and with incumbent Joe Donnelly.
Yeah, Mike Braun, the outsider, in this case, an outsider who once again had served in the General Assembly, had served on a school board. So you can serve. It just can't be what defines you, apparently. That's what appears to be, I'd say, at this point. If you look at the results from that race, initially, a lot of people were saying it would be either Messer or Rokita, and Braun was just sort of this other person who was, fortunately for him, able to self-finance to the tune of a whole lot of money. But Braun very early on defined himself as the outsider, as the person who was following the path of Donald Trump, as the person who, as he put it, the only person I will owe anything to is you. So he tried to make it sound like he was not beholden to anybody, and he was a business person, just wanted to go do a little quick work and then come back to the state. He did that effectively. By the time Messer and Rokita started to try and label him as something other than that, it was basically too late. The label had fit, was on him, it stuck. He was able to carry that through, and if you look on a county-by-county basis, you'll see that Messer did very well, obviously, in his congressional district. Rokita did well in his congressional district, and unfortunately for the two of them, Braun did well just about everywhere else. That's kind of bad news for Joe Donnelly, because that means that Braun was not running from a small base of support, but support that actually existed throughout the entire state. And now Donnelly has to campaign throughout the entire state, which he was more than likely going to do anyway.
In fact, I know that CNN had listed this. Well, some of the ratings outlets had called this race a toss-up anyway. And then CNN, I know, listed the seat among the 10 U.S. Senate seats it considered the most likely to flip in 2018. So you still see, at least from now, at this point in time, before we get much closer to November, of that possibility?
Well, I think so. This, you know, it's a Republican, it's a conservative state, and it's a good time to be a Republican in this conservative state. Republicans have had great electoral success here. Mike Braun probably is the best of the three Republican candidates to run against Donnelly, because he can take that outsider label. He can take what people liked about Donald Trump. He doesn't have to take what they disliked about him. He doesn't have a voting record that is easy to tie to Donald Trump the way Messer or Rokita did. He doesn't look like sort of the traditional Republican in the way Luke Messer did. He doesn't look like the pugnacious fighter-type person that Todd Rokita presented himself as. So Mike Braun's probably the best opponent for against Joe Donnelly in terms of the Republicans' chances of picking up that seat. But you throw all that together, and Joe Donnelly has a lot of work ahead of him. But I do want to point out very quickly, Joe Donnelly, I think it was the next day, was running a commercial that said, "I'm just the hired help. I was hired by you. I work for you." So they're both pretty much saying they're there for us. Forget the party label. They're there working for us. Now we just have to see who stands on the issues we like better, I guess.
Well, if there was just one point that you could think of that you could mention here as we kind of wrap things up here, what might it be to look forward to come November?
It's always voter turnout. Do you have a good enough message that resonates with enough voters to win? And I think they both do. In spite of the fact that Joe Donnelly is a Democrat in the state at a time when it's better to be a Republican in general, he's a moderate, and he's done good casework throughout the state. He's backed issues that seem to be important to voters in the state. So I'm sure he knows who his supporters are, and Braun knows who his supporters are. Now it's a question of making sure they stay interested and excited enough that those supporters convince that small pool of undecided voters to go in one direction or the other.